Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, this is Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Albany Times Union editorial page editor Jay Jochnowitz. Welcome, Jay.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Great to see you. I understand you've been traveling, and we'll try to go easy on you.
But appreciate that.
My first question is this. What happened in the primaries? What's the takeaway?
You know, I think the takeaway depends on who you are. If you're Andrew Cuomo and you are parsing this the day after, and you say all I ever wanted was 51, all I ever wanted or needed was 51%, then your takeaway is I did all the right things and I won.
You really believe that? I mean, I don't want to argue with you too much here, Jay, because you are tired. But I do think that when he said a day before the election, before the primary, running against somebody who wasn't supposed to run against them, but who ended up with a lot of votes. I mean, you know, 35% of the Democratic voters voted. I think when he said, all you need is 51%, I thought I was a bit of bravado myself.
I think that was rationalizing. I think that was bracing
sure.
his campaign and himself for what otherwise would have been a psychological blow. You know, this wasn't a general election. This was a primary. The loyalists should have come out. The party faithful should have come out for their governor, not for some upstart law professor who, you know, was from much further to the left than the governor.
Zephyr Teachout.
Yeah.
And her lieutenant governor candidate, who gets 40% of the vote. Yeah. She gets 35%. After all, she's running against the Cuomo, but he's running against an unknown. He gets 40% of the vote. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And this isn't just 35 or 40% in every county. You know, you look at that. Mm. The Times did a great map online that showed all the counties she won in. And it's this huge swath of the state, you know, cutting down from the north down straight down the Champlain and Hudson valleys, and then you go out, you know, the Mohawk Valley. I was kind of glancing at the map, but she won these counties flat out.
With huge margins, which is very interesting to me because, you know, I'm the president of a rather large public radio system of stations. But if you did an overlay of those stations and put it over where Zephyr Teachout won big, you would find an absolute match. Now, we don't endorse or anything, but we certainly invite everybody to come on. She took advantage of that, and he did not. Uh-huh. So maybe he should have learned something from that a lot of intelligent people listen to public radio, maybe? I don't know. Did the Times Union endorse in this race?
We did not endorse in the race. Our main reason was, and we had been talking to the Teachout campaign for over a month about getting her in, and we never got her in.
Really?
And
doesn't sound like her. She came running in here.
No, she called me. She called me a week ago to say, would you reconsider your decision not to endorse? And I said, not without meeting you. You're too much of an unknown. And I really, not just myself, but the whole board feels before we can endorse someone who really doesn't have that strong a public track record, we need to meet you. We need to see what you're like in person. You know, some of this is a big part of an endorsement is the subjectivity to it in terms of the presence of a person, the ability to communicate, the ability to think on your feet. You know, at the other end of a phone line or even Skyping, which was one thing they suggested, which was intriguing. You know, it just wasn't going to work. And then the governor's people also couldn't get him in, but we've met the governor. We might have still done an endorsement if we had just gotten her in, but then it just got too late.
So the New York Times endorsed Timothy Wu, the lieutenant governor candidate, but not her.
Right.
And apparently, you know, there were some reservations about how prepared she was to run the state from the Times point of view.
I think that was the bottom line for the Times. They did not want to, I think, A, they didn't want to endorse Cuomo.
No, they don't seem to like him that much.
No, but then you're caught in a position. Could you imagine the Times endorsing Astorino in November? So how do you construct an editorial that endorses Teachout in a primary, and then you throw all that away and say, well, we're going to endorse Andrew Cuomo in the general? And I think the Times,
they have to endorse Cuomo, don't they?
I would believe they would, yeah.
You know, because
what would they do?
Yeah.
How do you do that dual, you know, how do you say he's not the right person for governor in one editorial and then say he is the right person for governor in another?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you're comparing two different opponents in those editorials as well. But so, there's a gymnastics routine going on there.
So Jay Jognowitz, editorial page editor of the Albany Times-Union, let's parse what happened here. Cuomo apparently has a problem with, a real problem with the left flank of his party.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's been clear, you know, for months, but, you know, the letters we were getting, it was all the Democratic faithful were writing to us, or the, let's put it this way, the more left of the party was clearly disenchanted.
Well, but Teachout was no sort of lefty candidate. She had wide appeal to liberals, right, to people who don't like Cuomo, and she gets more than a third of the vote and has no money to run a campaign with.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to send a danger signal to Andrew Cuomo.
It should, because there is still a pretty liberal candidate in the race. And, you know, if you read the interviews with people who say they voted for Teachout even though they expected Cuomo to win in the primary,
Yeah. They
were saying, look, I know he's going to win, but I want to send a message to him that I'm not happy. Well, what if they do that? What if 30% of Democrats do that in a general election?
And vote for the Green Party.
And vote for the Green Party candidate. I don't think you'll get 30%, but you could get a pretty strong protest vote. Then you've got a very strong, I think the Republican vote is going to be for Astorino. It's not going to be, maybe not. They're going to, you know, he's going to pull a strong Republican vote. So you dilute the Democratic vote for Cuomo. You pull a strong Republican vote. He might have something to worry about.
Look, George Pataki beats Mario Cuomo back in the day. Cuomo was running for a fourth term. He beats him. Nobody thought that Pataki could win.
Right.
At the time. I remember it very well. In fact, Cuomo followed the same sort of path that his son is now doing. I'm not going to debate this guy. He didn't say, I will debate him. He said, I'll debate him, but every minor league candidate has to be on the ballot, and he made it impossible. And Pataki wins. What should Andrew Cuomo take away from this election?
I think he ought to debate. This is my logic on it. I bear with me, because it's a thought that's still forming into a coherent sentence. He hasn't delivered campaign finance reform.
Although he does, he says he's for it, but he has $35 million in the bank in the meantime.
Right. So how could Andrew Cuomo wage a candidacy that is true to his belief, his stated belief, as someone that is for campaign finance reform, and still not, as candidates often say, unilaterally disarm, not spend, you know, not just throw away, not just hold his $35 million in reserve. But one thing he could do is treat this like a race that isn't dependent on a small fortune in money, but is a race of ideas, of two candidates going head to head and talking about the issues of the day, or three. Three candidates doing
so. He's Machiavellian. He believes in politics, the great god of politics. You follow the rules. The rules are, you're ahead of a guy in the polls, you don't debate with them. You don't debate. You should debate with him, we think, you and I, and we would be saying this about anybody, because it's ideas and because the people have a right to see this stuff, but not him. He's going to say, what would Machiavelli have done here? And I'm not going to endanger myself by doing that. But that turns out not to work.
It didn't work in the primary, and it didn't work in the sense that I think a lot of people, he didn't bring the disenchanted people over. He should have had a stronger showing in the primary, and he didn't. But I think he's got some, from a political perspective, I think he has some legitimate concerns about getting on a stage with a combative candidate and having to deal with certain issues that he doesn't want to deal with,
like
the Moreland Commission.
Yeah. Well, but on the other hand, Astorino, who has to position himself, that's the Republican candidate, folks, in case nobody's ever heard of him. Astorino has to identify who he is. Mm-hmm. And he made a major mistake, in my opinion, in this thing, by becoming a social conservative on many of the social issues. And by doing that, he said to Blue State New York, get lost. Basically, this isn't who you are. Whatever reason he did that. Now, who knew that Andrew was going to take a little bit of a fall here? And so I think he misidentified himself if he was being a political logician. And now he's got to pay for that.
Right. The Democrats that voted against Cuomo are not going to see their savior or an alternative in Astorino. And I think that if they felt strongly enough to vote for Zephyr Teach out in the primary, that was a vote of conscience, of sentiment. They're not going to violate that sentiment by going over, you know, completely against their beliefs and voting for Astorino.
But everything I read is so interesting. I mean, as I said before, if you take a look at the counties, Columbia County up here, where we're speaking, you know, right over the border here, 75% she gets. That's extraordinary. But not Long Island and not New York City, which is interesting because I don't think they have, A, the same public radio stations we have up here, or the Times Union, whatever. And they've never heard of Zephyr Teach Out. That's where money really comes into play.
Right. And I don't think you have the same, the issues that made her strong. I don't think New York City or Long Island worry about as much. Long Island's worried about taxes. They saw, you know, Cuomo has done some good things for them in regard to taxes, got the tax cap through. He's been forcing the school districts trying to force the school districts to tighten up, which is the big driver of taxes down along, or one of the big
drivers. But they still didn't know who Zephyr Teach Out was.
No. But on Long Island.
That's right.
And they didn't know her. So, you know,
that's where money comes into play.
Right.
Because then you put every ad on in every moment and you can't turn the television on without seeing that stuff. Let's move to another subject that I find fascinating, and that is the control of the New York State Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go back in time. Cuomo goes to the Working Families Left of Center Party, desperately wants that designation, doesn't get it until Bill de Blasio comes in, the mayor of New York, the progressive, and helps him out of that mess. And Cuomo, in order to get through this, has to make a promise. And his promise is, I'm going to deliver the Democrats back to the leadership of the Senate, even though there are those of us, and I certainly have always said this, who believe that Cuomo was responsible for keeping the Republicans in power there. So now you have Cuomo making a promise, and you have the so-called IDC, or Independent Democratic Conference, saying, okay, we're going back, we're going to caucus with the Democrats. I am fascinated by this because I have a feeling Cuomo still got those guys to prevent the Democrats running away with the whole store in the state and spending too much and going against the Cuomo brand of fiscal conservatism. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong at all. I think I think there's a broad perception out there that if it wasn't for the governor, you wouldn't have had an IDC GOP power sharing deal.
In other words, you think that there's a suspicion that he put these four or five guys up to it to coalesce with the Republicans,
or didn't resist the way Cuomo certainly could have resisted.
Oh yeah, if Cuomo had called him into the room and said, "Look, boys," shook his hand at him and said, "You're getting back there with the Democrats," they would have had to go. They could not have risked primaries and everything else against them unless they thought there was a wink and a nod.
Yep, and I think for the same reason you're seeing the uncertainty of what's going to happen next year. I still don't know, or even have any speculation on how this is going to play out in the in January, assuming Jeff Klein's coming back because he won his primary.
Jeff Klein, for those who are listening or never heard of him, is a Bronx senator who's the head of this so-called Independent Democratic Conference caucus.
You know, one thing we've seen in Albany over the last few years is people who have a whole lot of power, including the governor, throwing up their hands and saying, "I'm sorry, you know, I can't get it done. I promised, but I can't get it done." So we saw it with campaign finance reform. We saw it with independent redistricting. We've seen it with any number of things where all of a sudden the governor says, "My hands are tied. I can't keep fighting these people. I have to work with them." So for all the promise of bringing the Democrats back into the fold, we could very well find in December, we could be reading a story about how Jeff Klein just won't budge and they can't cut a deal with the Democrats and the Democrats are digging in and it's just going to have to be the IDC and the GOP running the Senate.
What's the risk here, Jay Jacknowitz? What's the risk for Cuomo? And that is that his, I mean, Mario Cuomo had Warren Anderson and Ralph Marino to say no to him so that he could blame them as opposed to saying he was for it. Andrew Cuomo has the same deal right now with the Democrats and Dean Skelos. So the risk is almost goes to the level of his run for the United States presidency, which everybody assumes he's going to want to do sooner or later.
Yeah, well, the narrative, you know, the national narrative that comes out of all these state intricacies, I think all the intricacies and all the nuances of it get lost in the national narrative. And if Andrew Cuomo can, you know, create a presidential campaign that's based on the idea of fiscal stability, of bringing all these warring factions together, whether he lived up to his promise to reunite the Democrats or not. You know, that's what he's going to take nationally. If he can continue what he's doing, you know, he can defend his school record. You know, some people agree with it, some people don't. They don't feel it's enough money. Some people feel it, you know, it's still too much. You know, all those various things I think can be that he can deal with he can filter that through $1 billion of campaign finance or whatever it is he's going to raise for a presidential race if he does that. I think he's got a bigger liability than anything. Any political machinations. The Moreland Commission could be an enduring problem for him. But the big one, I think, is going to be the SAFE Act nationally. That, you know, the anti-gun control movement. I mean, it divides him from 48% of the electorate right there. And I think that's a big problem.
The Moreland Act, I think, is a fascinating story. We all remember it. He invents a Moreland Act commission to go after, we all know what it was about, to go after corrupt legislators and lobbyists. But when it turns out they're going after his friends, this independent commission, which he said was independent, it turns out he pulls the plug on him. He says, go home. Now, we all made a big thing about it. The New York Times made a big thing about it. Your newspaper made a big thing about it. I still don't think anybody really knows about it. In other words, I think it's pretty well hidden and pretty well passed right now. The guns are another story because you ride around in upstate New York, where Zephyr Teachout, by the way, did very well, and I'm sure she is not on the other side on that one. But I think that part of that protest vote was people saying anybody but Cuomo.
Yep. Yep. And there's plenty of I'm just down the block from me. I've got a number of neighbors out in the country that have, you know, repeal the SAFE Act signs out on there. You know, it's not for a candidate or against a candidate. It's just repeal the SAFE Act. We don't like it. That is going to be a big issue for him. I think the Moreland Commission is yet to be a problem.
What do you know that I don't know? The thing is, your editor, Rex Smith, and I are very good friends, but I always tease him about this. I've always had the feeling there's a sort of a pipeline between some of the law enforcement people, the incredibly important ones, you know, the FBI and the newspaper and the rest. And now we have the fighting U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, who has talked to the Cuomo people about why exactly they did scuttle the Moreland Act Commission. And everybody's waiting for that shoe to drop to see whether Bharara actually starts to indict people in that. That would put a whole new face on it, wouldn't it?
It sure would. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, most voters are willing to, you know, so I think we're just scandal weary. You know, we don't want to get excited about a scandal until we know it's a scandal. So, you know, the press can, you know, I thought the Times did a great job of pulling all the string together on this. And I think people in the press take this pretty seriously. But the fact is, at least innocent until indicted.
Right.
You know, is there a scandal here or isn't it? Is this just, you know, a little, you know, has this been written in such a way that it just looks like a bad thing, or is it a genuinely bad thing? And I think people are looking to the U.S. Attorney's Office to say this was a bad thing, and here's a jury that says so. Here's a grand jury that says it would be a grand jury, right?
Would be a grand jury. Yeah.
Here's a grand jury that says so, and we're going to go to trial on this. If that happens before November 5th.
Well, they're not going to indict Andrew Cuomo, in my opinion. And they're not going to indict his assistants, but people down the line may somehow be pointed at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in politics, you never know who does what. Now, Preet Bharara, of course, used to be chief of staff, I think, or chief counsel to Chuck Schumer. And one wonders what the real relationship between Schumer and, you know, Cuomo might be. So there's always circles within circles in all of this that we, the public, know very little about.
I would disagree with you on Cuomo not being indicted. Not that I think the governor is going to be indicted, but that if you're going to indict in the Moreland controversy, it's not you can't indict an aide to the governor and say the governor didn't know about it. He's not gonna, I don't see how you can do it. It wouldn't be credible. Andrew Cuomo, anybody who knows the Cuomo administration knows that Andrew
has his hand on every single decision that gets made. And by the way, I don't think he ever denied that. He said, it's my commission, basically, and I could do anything I want with it, even though I told you that it's going to be independent.
And that's what all this comes down to. It really comes down to whether Cuomo is right in the way he managed this commission. I don't think any of the facts are really in dispute. So it's really a question of whether a law was broken or not. And if Barrera feels that he can take that to a jury and have a jury believe that.
Do you think that Zephyr Teachout and Tim Wu, who ran against him, Cuomo, have a future in New York State politics?
I don't know. You know, it's, you know, when you lose, most people go away. Mitt Romney to the, you know, is maybe the exception that he wants to run again, or this talk of him running again. Not in New York, obviously, but nationally. Usually in American politics, my sense has been that when a person loses, with a few notable exceptions, they go away because they're not winners. I mean, it's just the parties move on.
Mario
to somebody
Cuomo
else.
Lost a whole bunch of races and he didn't go away.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. Let's take the unusual thought that maybe Hillary Clinton, who after all lost to an unknown when she was running against Barack Obama, decides, you know, I don't like the smell of this. I'm not going to run. Would Andrew Cuomo run?
Oh, I think he would. I think he'd like to. I think he believes he can raise the money. I think what it comes down to is do the people who are going to give the money that's needed for a national race believe that he can overcome the liabilities we talked about, the SAFE Act and possibly Moreland, and be cast out there as a strong gun control candidate and, with a possibly, checkered management of a commission, can he overcome that, That'll be painted much more seriously than I just did. You know, scandal and corrupt and influenced. If he can find the money, the people with the money, to say, yeah, I'll invest in that presidency. I think he would do it. Absolutely.
Our guest has been Jay Jochnowitz, who is the editorial page editor of the Albany Times Union, one of the most respected newspapers in New York State. And Jay, it's always such a pleasure to have you. You're a considered fellow. You think about what you're saying. And I think everybody who's listening will know that. And again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.